Hello and welcome back to another episode of the World Most Inconsistent Podcast, my podcast. Today we have a special guest, Jack Hallows. Jack, would you like to introduce yourself to ourselves and ourselves, and tell us a little bit more who you are, where you come from, how tall are you, how much do you weigh, what are your current fitness goals, and all those things, or everything that we need to know.
Mate, thank you for having me. I will say though, I think your podcast is a bit more consistent than mine. I uploaded a podcast the other day, and it was my first one for 2 months, and that one had been my first one for 3 months, which had been my first one for 6 months. So I think you're doing a little bit better than me. So yeah, I might have to take the most inconsistent podcast title off yet.
Be my
But
guest.
yeah, thanks for having me on. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jack Hallows. I'm an online coach and personal trainer in Sydney, Australia. I'll save you all the boring crap. But essentially, I help men and women achieve their body composition goals, and I make some kind of funny videos on the internet at times as well. So yeah, that's pretty much the main things that anyone needs. Oh, and I have a cat. I have a cat. He's a big part of my personality. Yeah.
What got you into fitness? What got you into coaching other clients? I mean, coaching people and being a personal trainer. Where did you
So
start?
I think a lot of people in the industry are into fitness from like a young age, right? Like they have their pictures of bodybuilders on the wall when they're like 14 or whatever. And that was never me. Like I have to put my hands up and say, like, I studied music at uni. So I came out of school. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I finished school a bit young. I was like 17 when I finished. So my parents were like, yeah, take a bit of time if you want, think about what you want to do. So I went and studied music because I play guitar and I've always liked creating stuff, which I guess we'll come onto in content in a bit. But essentially, music is a really difficult industry to make any money in. Obviously, you either got to kind of be Taylor Swift and get famous, or you've got to teach music. And I tried teaching guitar to one kid when I was younger in high school, and it drove me up the wall, and I couldn't do it. I didn't have the patience for it. So I was kind of like, well, what else do I enjoy? And I'd always been a sporty kid. I'd always enjoyed sport without kind of doing anything specific with it. And I was kind of like, well, I still really like sport and I still really like exercising. Maybe I'll go join a gym and I'll sort of think about what it is that I want to do. So I joined a gym, went and started training with a mate of mine from my football team. And we both just really started to enjoy it. Like it started becoming one of my favorite parts of the day was it get to 4 p.m. he'd finish work and I'd meet him at the gym and we'd train and we'd talk shit. We would train for like 3 hours. It was honestly so irresponsible back then. But like everyone who then gets interested in something, I started to research it more and I started to look up more about this thing that I was getting interested in. And I got exposed to more fitness content. I started like watching it on YouTube all the time. Because bear in mind, I'm fresh out of uni. I ain't got a job. I'm clinging on for the European summer when I'm going on holiday. So I've got a lot of time to kill in this period. So I'm just digesting all this fitness information at like 20 years old. And I'm like, oh, this is great. This is great. This is great. But back then, a lot of the fitness information coming out was just bodybuilders. So just physique competitors. And, all the steroid stuff aside, everything they're doing is to the extreme, right? Because a lot of these guys and girls are getting up on stage to look their best, but perform their worst, essentially. They're going to feel like shit when they get up there. We just don't see that part of it. And so I kept seeing all these guys who were shredded and like, muscles I didn't even know existed. I was sitting there like, oh, my biceps got a vein. This is sick. Oh, I've got a two pack. That's amazing. And this guy's got like six fucking heads of something poking out of his quad. And I'm like, whoa. So I started listening to all of their advice. And unfortunately, a lot of their advice was on getting shredded. And that's not what I needed. I needed to build muscle. I was quite wiry at this point. I was like 78, 79 kilos or something. For reference, I'm like 94 now. And I still get called small in my comment section on TikTok every time I upload. I basically just kept doing all this stuff and I was, eating 2,000 calories a day. I was doing like 20,000 steps a day. I was training every day because what's a rest day, right? Like, rest days are for weak people. And I was just running myself into the floor and I just kept not understanding why I didn't look like these guys. It was kind of that thing of like, I'm doing everything right. But what I didn't realize was like, that was half of the cake, right? The rest is that, or I guess it's only really a quarter of the cake when you think about it, because the rest is all just spending time eating a lot of food, lifting a lot of heavy weights, and putting on muscle. I didn't understand why I was just becoming a much smaller version of myself. And I just ended up, we can go into it in a little bit, but I ended up in some like really bad behaviors, really bad place mentally. And I just decided, you know, I wanted to prevent people from getting to that point. I wanted to figure out a way that I could do that, because I was kind of like, and again, I'm not trying to say that these people are bad people. They're trying to help people. They're trying to share their journey and stuff. But fitness is such a nuanced gray area kind of topic that, like, you tell somebody that it is the only way to do something, chances are it's not. It's just the thing that worked for you, essentially. And so I was kind of like, well, I want to stop people from ending up like this. And I wasn't smart enough to go and study psychology or like get in, you know, and help people like that. So I was like, what can I do? I can be the preventative person. I can teach people the right way to lose body fat, the right way to improve their physique, the right way to get stronger, the right way to train, to exercise, and all that sort of stuff. And so I was like, all right, I'll go be a personal trainer. Let's give this a go. Let's see. Went and studied fitness, which in Australia, you only have to do a 4 month fucking certification, which is terrifying, by the way. Like, I know that that's the main certification that I got initially, but Jesus Christ, I think back to myself in 2018 and I'm like, oh brother. Yeah. And then I just kind of got in the gym that I'd been training at. They had a vacancy for a personal trainer. So one of my best mates, Jesse, who I'd met like 6 months prior then, he kind of had a word with the PT manager and he was like, yeah, get this guy in. He kind of knows what he's doing. No fucking idea what I was doing, but I'm really glad he vouched for me. And yeah, now we're 7 odd years later and I run an online coaching business, coaching people in something like, I think this year I coach people in, oh, it's like 15 different countries or something like that, which is pretty fucking cool. So yeah, that's how I got here.
So what got you into putting yourself out there? And did you ever have any kind of worries about what other people might think of you? You know, did you ever have any fear of posting online or things like that?
So, funny story. When I was a teenager, did you ever use the blogging site Tumblr when you were younger? Did you ever get on that, or did you have a social life when you were a teenager?
I would say I had a social life when I was a teenager. I don't have a social life now. I've heard of it, but I haven't used it as much as you have.
Yeah, so I had no social life when I was a teenager. I was massively reclusive. I used to skip school. Worst social anxiety ever when I was like 15, 16. I'm still an awkward human, but people seem to like it now. And I basically just would spend all my time on this blogging website, essentially, which was basically just, it was kind of where memes, I guess, kind of came from, because it wasn't like video content like you and I do now. It was just teenagers talking absolute shit on the internet. And I grew a following on there. I grew like 250,000 followers on there in like 3 years, basically. And I was making money off Google advertising and all that sort of stuff. Should have done YouTube, idiot. But you know, I picked that one. And so, yeah, for me, content creation was always just something that I did. And yeah, 100%, I felt self-conscious about it when I started. I still sometimes feel self-conscious when I get the big tripod and the camera out at the gym and I'm kind of like, oh, that guy's looking at me. I hope he's not judging me. But then I remember, I'm like, well, yeah, what's the worst that can happen? Somebody comes up and goes, oh, making a video, are you? And I go, yeah. And they go, oh, and then they walk away. That's it. So yeah, I mean, I just liked it. I like creating stuff, you know, having studied music and all that sort of stuff. I like being able to create things. And I always just kind of thought, like, the gym that I worked in was such a small, like, suburban Sydney gym, right? And I was kind of like, I am struggling to get clients here. I'm really struggling to, in this gym, I never did more than like 20 personal training sessions in a week, you know, and I was getting paid by the gym a cut of money. So I was getting paid $20 for a half hour session and $30 for an hour session. So not great money, really. And then I was doing I was working for the gym, like on reception, writing programs for new members, cleaning treadmills with a fucking duster every morning, like, you know, for $20 an hour as well. So it wasn't great money. And I was kind of like, well, I think there's more to this. I'd kind of seen people who made the content that I'd watched, and I'd kind of thought to myself, well, I can reach more people and help more people than just my suburb, you know? And suburban Australia, it wasn't really the kind of demographic that I wanted to necessarily work with long term. You know, I enjoyed it. I worked with a lot of elderly people, which was fucking awesome, I have to say, because you see their quality of life change before your eyes like that. And it's absolutely phenomenal. But for me, I was kind of like, my whole thing was I wanted to work with people on their body composition goals and, you know, help them do it sustainably and spread a message of sustainability for all this sort of stuff for as many people as I could. And so I was like, how do I do that? And I found James Smith's videos in like late 2019. And my friend Jesse, who I mentioned before, we were watching a video one day and we were like, fuck, this guy's so funny, man. Like, he is so funny. You know, and I think he had 50,000 on Facebook at that time. So he wasn't blown up yet. You know, he was getting there, but he wasn't there yet. And we just decided to go and remake one of his videos one day, like full on ripped it off word for word, blatantly copied the fucking video, absolutely everything. I'm pretty sure we copied his accent and everything as well at that point. But like, we filmed it on like an old iPhone 8 or something, no microphone. You could barely hear us in the gym, but we went and did it for half an hour and it was fun and we enjoyed it. And then we started pestering the digital marketing lady at the gym because they had an Instagram to let us make video content for the gym. And half the time they wouldn't use it because they didn't want to, like, the way we spoke, or like we might swear or something like that. As you know, I tend to swear a lot in my content. So sorry to anybody who's got sensitive ears. I've,
Okay.
yeah, English born, grew up in Australia. Like, it's going to happen. So yeah, we just kept doing that. And then I was posting a bit on my Instagram and I got to like, I think I was at like 3,000 followers. And then Mark Carroll, who obviously we both know very well, was following him, and he was making a lot of content and doing like a lot of those like swipe posts and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. I could do that. That way I don't have to film and talk into a microphone all the time. I can just showcase exercises and stuff that I find cool. So I started doing that and posting like once a week, if that, like once, maybe twice a week if I was lucky. Nobody cared. I got like 20 likes a post. One of them was my mom. One of them was my aunt. One of them was my like cousin. One of them was Jesse. One of them, I think, was me on my other account liking it. But it got me to do the reps and start going. And then in lockdown in 2020, I had fuck all else to do. So I just started filming videos every single day. You know, I think that was around the time that we started talking, because we were both doing the same thing, making those carousels, just filming lots of videos, because what else were we gonna do, you know? And then yeah, ever since then, it's just kind of, I think I had 5,000 followers in 2021. I hit 15,000 followers in 2022, and we're now at like almost 75,000 or something, which is cool. It's fun. Yeah.
Consistency.
Exactly. I've got
Consistency.
1,400 videos on Instagram. Like, you know, before anyone comes at me being
Consistency.
like, oh, how did you do it? Just fucking upload, man. That's all you have to do.
So speaking of consistency, I already forgot what I was going to ask you next. So on social media, everyone sees the highlights. You know, you see a snippet of my day, I see a snippet of your day, and you might think, oh, I don't know, he's doing amazing, she's doing amazing. But what about, do you have any low days, any low moments, any days or moments when you're like, oh man, this is too hard, I'm gonna give up? Do you have any I wanna give up moments? And how do you, what do you do when you have those moments, if you have those moments? I'm not saying that you have, but if you have those
Oh,
moments.
I have them daily at this point. No, okay. Look, I do, absolutely, everybody does. Like, let's be real. As you said, social media is a highlight reel. You know, we all share the positive stuff. We all share like the things that we're like, oh, this is gonna bring value, or this makes it look like I'm having a good quality of life or whatever. Like, and we don't share the negatives of our lives because A, we don't want to be seen to be begging for attention 100%, but B, I don't know anybody who's really comfortable actually sharing that side of life a lot. But yeah, so for me, I definitely have those days. I definitely don't. I try not to share that on social media. I just think for me personally, I like to deal with what goes on in my own life. I'm not the most public person on socials. Like, you know, I don't really post that much of what I do on a day-to-day basis outside of what's relevant to my business and my content and fitness and stuff, simply because I don't want to dox myself. I don't want anybody showing up on my front doorstep, you know, and being like, hey, train me, and maybe like, that's weird. You know, not saying that I'm big enough for that to happen, but who knows? Maybe a post blows up and you end up at 1 million followers and all of a sudden you got 10 people on your doorstep. You know, like, I wouldn't want that to happen. But yeah,
I've had some bad experiences with
you told me
people,
about one
so
in London that was a bit dodgy.
yeah, weird.
Yeah, and that's the
So
thing. It's like I don't want that to be a thing. You know, I see social media as a positive. I see it as a net positive generally. There are some bad sides of it. I make a lot of content reacting to the bad side of it. But at the same time, it's a net positive that we get to share all this value and stuff. But it can also do your fucking head in. So I think you have to be able to have a balance with that. But in terms of like what I do when I'm feeling down, like realistically, I just try and control what I can control and do what I can do. And Mark says it really well. Mark has this like great saying where he's basically just like, you just have to show relentless optimism all the time. And you just have to wake up and you have to be relentlessly optimistic that today is going to be your day. And even if it's not your day, the next one might be. You know, so again, you wake up and you're relentlessly optimistic. You look at your to-do list and I try and stay as organized in my life as I can, keeping to-do lists, waking up the same time every day, even if I don't have to, you know, all these things that kind of keep me in routine. And it's like, all right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability today. And who knows, maybe today is the day that I sign 10 clients and my post goes mega viral and I launch something and it goes really well. And then I get invited to do three podcasts. And in fucking 6 months' time, my life is so different. You know, not that I'm complaining about how my life is at the moment, but you know, that's how fast things can change. We've seen it, you know. So I think it's just a case of, yeah, controlling what you can control. And also dealing with things too. Like when I was younger, I used to be really good at just being like, ah, that's a problem. But that can be a problem for Jack in 6 months when he's just boiled it all up inside and explodes somewhere. Whereas now I'm like, okay, well that's pretty pressing. That's pissing me off, or that's causing me anxiety, or it's causing me to feel down. Do I feel like I can tackle that right now? Yes. Okay, let's do it. Do I feel like I can tackle it right now? No. Okay, I'm gonna write down how I'm feeling, what's going on in my journal or something, or I'm gonna voice note it in my phone to myself, and then I'm gonna deal with it when I have the headspace, and I'm gonna work out how I can put together a plan of action to fix this. You know, and yeah, that's kind of serving me okay right now, I think. I'm mostly sane, maybe like 90%. I don't know, a little bit unhinged, but we'll see.
good. When you get a new client, what is your kind of thought process and writing programs process and nutrition process? How do you, if I was to reach out for coaching and I said, I want to compete in bodybuilding, this is like a huge goal, but let's say that I want to compete in bodybuilding in 12 months' time, and then you assess my physique, where do we go from there? Like, how do you start? What's your kind of coaching approach?
Yeah, great question. So the biggest thing for me is the consult. I always think the consultation is the most important part. And it baffles me that there are coaches out there who don't do consults with online clients. That's so weird to me. I had a new client start last year who's still with me and trained together for like 9 months now. And I said to her, I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, you told me that this is a lot more hands-on than your previous coach, like for feedback for myself. So I know with the business where to take it to keep improving. What was the previous coach like? And she was like, I never spoke to her. I'm like, you what? She's like, yeah, it was one-to-one coaching, but like we didn't do a consult. She didn't write me a program. Like it was all done through this other coach and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, did she at least sign off on it? Did you get like a little like this is good to go seal of approval? She's like, no, it was just kind of like, you know, I dealt with other people. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. So for me, the consult is the biggest thing. And what I'm looking at is like, yeah. So if you come in, you're like, hey, I'm Anna, I want to, you know, do a bodybuilding show in 12 months' time. I look at, okay, what's the goal and what's the roadmap to get there? And where are you at both physically and mentally right now? Because to me, that's the most important thing. You know, I've turned more people away from dieting in the last year than I have actually dieted people. And I know I have multiple coach friends who have said to me, dude, why are you not getting more results with these clients? And I'm like, I am. They're not marketable, quote unquote. And I hate saying it like that, but that's the way that the fitness industry is, which is kind of fucked up. But they're not before and after picture results and transformations. They will be eventually when this person is in the right place to do that. But maybe someone's come to me to diet and I've been like, well, why do you want to diet? And they're like, I don't know, like Sally at work's doing it and she told me that I look fat today and stuff. And it's like, that's not a reason to want to diet. You know, like if you genuinely think you're going to be happier being 5 kilos lighter, cool, let's do it. You know, if you've genuinely got health issues, or you're genuinely, your quality of life's not great right now, or let's say you've lost love of the gym and you want to get leaner because it's a tangible goal you can chase after, cool. But if it's just because somebody insulted you and you feel bad about yourself, like, let's attack that first. You know, let's attack maybe a way that we can get you to feel more confident first and kind of feel confident in yourself, because realistically, lose 5 kilos, you're still going to be the same person. And Sally's probably not going to lose 5 kilos because she's on Weight Watchers and she hates her life and she's having to collect points for mashing up a banana. So she's still going to tell you that you look fat, even if you lose 5 kilos, because that's just the kind of person that she is. And it's a representation of her. So for me, yeah, I'm always looking at, yeah, what's the goal? Is the goal something tangible that we can work towards? Because I think that's important too. I think when people just come in a consult, they're like, I want to lose weight. I'm like, cool, how much? Don't know. When by? Don't know. Why? Don't know. Then you don't want to lose weight. You know, again, you've just had this spur of the moment kind of motivation thing, and you're now going to come and pay me $1,650 or whatever it is for 12 weeks of coaching on a spur of a moment motivation of something in 3 weeks' time you're going to tell me you don't want to do anymore. Like, it's a lot of money to invest to do that and just have a head spin. So, you know, I'd rather say to someone from the start, look, I don't think you're ready for this, but I think if we do X, Y, and Z first, then I think you're going to be ready for this. So, comp prep clients, I'm not a comp prep coach. You know, I've had one client get on stage and she won a pro card, which was sick. I was kind of like, I can retire now. One out of one, happy days. But I do have two clients competing this year. But the thing with all three of these girls has been, you need to give me at least 6 months of building muscle and assessing where you're at mentally and all that sort of stuff first before we go into a comp. So Caroline, who won a pro card last year, we did a 6 month diet because she came to me wanting to lose body fat. And then we got on a Zoom call and she said, my next goal is, we just did a photo shoot. That was cool, but I want to get on stage. She's like, I'm 37. I want to get on stage now. I want to go and compete. And I was like, cool. If you give me the next 8 months to build, there's a show in, I think it was November at the time. And I was like, that's then 20 weeks after that. And I'm happy to prep you into that show if it's still something you want to do at the end of the build. But give me time to build you some muscle. Give me time to make sure that you're in the right place to do this and make sure that we continue working together for that long so that we can continue assessing your biofeedback. And it's been the same with both Shay and Tammy, the two girls I've got competing this year. We did long build phases. I think Tammy's was 7 months. Shay's was even longer because she was building before that. And now we're leaving plenty of time to diet down because I want them ready a couple of weeks before the comp so that we can just kind of chill there, bring calories up a little bit more, bring stress down and get them into the comp rather than rushing them and hurrying them in because it's their first competition experience. So yeah, for me, it's all about making sure the well-being of the client is put first. And unfortunately, sometimes that does tend to end up with me saying to a client, I don't think you should do that, or I don't think you should go here. And it's often followed by yet, because who knows, maybe in 6 months' time, you'll be in a better position. But, you know, I've had, I'm not going to name this person, but I had a client a couple of years ago who came to me for coaching. And I said the same thing. I was like, I don't think you're ready to diet right now. I don't think fat loss is right for you. I think instead, you should just look to do some time at maintenance. Body recomp, happy days, get a bit stronger, you know, focus on performance in the gym. And they were like, nah. Fuck that. Don't want to do that. I'm not paying for that. I want to lose weight. I want to get shredded. I was like, not the coach for you. I'm really sorry. And they went and got a different coach and they tried it. And the coach just like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's go. Like basically telling them what they wanted to hear, I guess. Anyway, 6 months later, they came back and they booked in another consult. And I was like, oh, how'd you go? And they were like, you were right. They're like, I tried to lose body fat with this other coach. They basically just told me, yeah, everything I wanted to hear, put me on really low calories, gave me a ton of cardio, flogged me for the next 12 weeks. And they were like, I got shredded, but I felt like shit. And I've put basically all the weight back on because I didn't then get an after plan or anything like that. It's like, yeah, you know, the well-being has to come first for me. So, you know, and thankfully that client then actually did a year with me and they're doing really well now. And they're off training by themselves and all that sort of stuff. But that for me is the big thing. It's like, I want client well-being. Then I want to be able to achieve the goal that they have set for themselves. And I want people to dream big. Fuck yeah, let's do it. You know, like that's what I want. You know, but I also then want to be able to ensure that at some point they turn around to me and they go, Jack, thanks for everything, but I'm off. And they do that because they're ready to go out back on their own and they feel comfortable doing that. And they feel comfortable paying less money for a subscription or something somewhere because they're like, I can take care of my nutrition. I've built the habits. I've built all of this sort of stuff up. My mindset's good. Everything around what I'm doing is good. I just need a bit of direction on programming because I don't understand, you know, these certain principles or whatever. It's like, great, amazing. I'm so happy to hear that. Off you go. Please keep in touch because it's great to see. So that's kind of my approach with coaching. I like getting results. I like getting transformations. I see myself as being a quote unquote body composition specialist, whatever the fuck that means. But at the same time, it's like I like doing it not at the expense of my client, essentially. You know, I don't want them to be left where I was left, you know, 6, 7 years ago, essentially.
What would be your approach to your own training? Do you ever skip any training sessions? Does that stress you out or not? Because so many people stress about one skipped training session. I'm just like, relax. You will be lifting until the rest of your life. One training session skipped won't make any difference to your progress.
Yeah,
What are
a
you
hundred
doing at the
percent.
moment?
At the moment, at the moment I am training 5 days a week. I am actually training. Oh, my Siri is being a pain in the ass. Yeah, I'm training 5 days a week at the moment. But and I posted about this on my story yesterday. I'm training a much lower volume approach than what I used to do. So for me now, my sessions don't really take me any longer than an hour, kind of from the moment that I walk into the gym to the moment that I tick off on my app that I've finished the last exercise of my workout, basically. Because I was finding that, yeah, I was trying to train like I used to train, you know, like 2 hour sessions and stuff. Cause I do like training, you know, I maybe don't like it as much as I did back then because I've done a lot more of it. And I actually like training other people more than I like training myself. But I still think that exercise, movement, training are all a huge part of health in your life, right? And my mental health feels better when I train. But yeah, I was kind of finding like, I just skip leg days or, you know, I had like 3 weeks where I didn't train legs once. You know, I was meant to train legs twice in a week, and I just didn't do it once. I was like, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Even to the point where I would take workouts from my next week that were upper body, and I would shift them into that week to not have to train legs. So now I follow a much lower volume approach. I'm in and out in like 45 to an hour. And because I'm following such a low volume approach, then it also means that if I have time and I want to do a bit extra, I have time to do extra and I could spend time in the gym and feel like I've overachieved on what I was programming. So like a little psychological hack for anybody out there listening. If you find that you're constantly having to skip your last exercise or two and you feel like you're underachieving, you don't feel like you're doing enough, cut it out of your fucking program. Program to the amount of time you have. And then guess what? If you have an extra 10 minutes on a day because your boss is running late or because your kids are already in kindergarten or it's the weekend, you can add it on and then you feel like a legend because you feel like you overachieved and you're like, look at me, I am health and fitness. You know, so yeah, that's my kind of approach to training at the moment. It's just lower volume. You're doing strength stuff, aren't you, with Baz?
Yes, and I love it. I need to train legs today. I need to train legs as soon as we finish with our putty. But yeah, strength training, and I really want, I mean, I would love to compete in powerlifting, but I think I'll do that next year. I don't
Yeah.
want
What's
for
your
the next
what are your
6 months.
totals? What are you gunning for?
Well, the last time when I trained, kind of like powerlifting style training, I managed to squat 120 kilos with low bar, deadlift 125, and I think my bench was a 45. We don't need to talk about the bench, but yeah, I want to bring my squat up to like 130, deadlift to, I don't know, like 130, 140, and then bench, I don't know, like 60, 70. I want to bench more than my body weight. So
Yeah,
we
fuck yeah.
have 6 months, 12 months to get there. Like, I'm not in a rush. I just want to take it slowly and easy, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm healthy enough to, I mean, healthy to train. I have the patience. I don't mind if I squat 130 kilos in 6 months or in 12 months. I just want to reach that goal. So however long it takes me, I'm happy with anything.
Well, that's
So
what
yeah.
people don't realize, right? It's like, you know, sometimes, yeah, it's good to have a timeline on a goal for sure. But like something like that, where you're kind of like, well, there is no set date for me to have to do that right now. Like, you know, at the end of the day, if you added, like, what do you squat at the moment? Like for a set of, say, 3 reps, what's your low bar squat at the moment?
I would probably be able to do like 90, 95 because I'm doing paused reps with like 75, 80 kilos now. So if I was just to do a normal tempo for 3 reps, 95, maybe even 100 kilos, because I've been sleeping really well, recovering really well, eating really well, managing my stress. Like I've changed my environment and did all the things that were stressing me out. Like I've removed myself from most of the stress. So my training is the best that it's ever been right now. So I could definitely squat like 95, probably even 100 kilos, like when I just focus. So, yeah.
Yeah. So if you added 1.25, which we know generally you can't do, you got to add 2.5, you got
Yeah.
1.25 on each side. But for argument's sake, if you only added 1.25 kilos every week for the next 24 weeks, you'd be at 130 kilo squat. And people, when you say that to
Easy.
them, they're like, it's like, yeah, it's simple math. Come on, I'm a PT. People tell me I can't count to 10 every day of my life, and I could still get there with that one. Come on, like, you know, and that's what people don't realize. It's those small little jumps. Fucking fat loss. You know, I, spoiler alert, actually, this podcast will go out after this post, so it's technically not a spoiler, but I recorded a video before. I got very irate and very grumpy about this video. It's like a 3-minute fucking reel because this influencer had posted that it's not hard to lose a pound a day. And I was like, I thought I read it wrong. I was like, a pound a week. I was like, fuck yeah, this is great. A pound a week. And then I read it again and I'm like, why is everyone in the comments flaming her? And then I read it like in the caption. I'm like, oh, a day. What the fuck? Okay, reaction. Time to flame her myself. And I like, yeah, I responded to this video and I was like, what people don't realize is that if you just lost a pound a week, it sounds so insignificant. But if you lost a pound a week for 24 weeks, you would lose 24 pounds. And on most people, 24 pounds is going to be a lot of loss. If I lost 24 pounds, I'd be a stick, you know? And yes, okay,
Right.
there's the caveat of people who are obese. Absolutely. They can probably lose weight faster, but that's coming from a position of having a lot more weight to lose. And that's what people don't realize is it's such a spectrum. And this girl's not obese. This girl looks great. You know, she's in really, really good shape. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, no, stop trying to take the fast route with everything. It's like your squat. If you said, I can squat 100 right now, and you're like, fuck it, let's try 130 tomorrow for one, you'd probably just pin yourself
Much.
and injure yourself, you know? And it's like people don't realize that those small compounding efforts, 6 months out of a hopefully knock on wood long life of 80 plus years is nothing, man. Like it's nothing. So yeah, I just wish people could exercise that a little bit more.
100%. And it's always, I want to see huge changes in 8 weeks, 6 weeks, 4 weeks, 12 weeks, which is the next question that I wanted to ask you. What are your thoughts on, 8 week challenges, 12 week challenges? Would you ever do them? Is that something that you like? I personally don't like them. We'll never do any kind of a challenge, but what's your kind of
Yeah, I used to be really anti-challenge, like really anti-challenge, but that was mainly just because of who it was that I saw doing them, essentially. And like, the more, like, I'm a very fortunate person. I'm friends with a lot of people in the industry who are doing extremely well for themselves. And that makes me really proud and really happy for them. And I think a lot of these people have kind of redefined the challenge game positively, which is something I really like. You know, I look at these challenges and like they're no longer 12-week fat loss challenges or 8-week fat loss challenges or whatever. A lot of the time, they're just challenges. It's just to try and get somebody motivated, get somebody following something for a shorter period of time, you know, like yeah, the F45 style challenge where they put you on 1200 calories a day and you have to work out twice a day and lose as much fat as possible to win a holiday in the Bahamas, not the best at all. And I don't support those because again, it's kind of stands for everything that I stand against, essentially, with fat loss and all that sort of stuff. But I think again, to look at Mark, for example, Mark Carroll's done 8-week challenges and he does it really, really well. People get good results and they come back again and again and again for challenges. That's the whole good thing, is it's like they might do 3 challenges back to back for 24 weeks, lose a ton of body fat, and then do another 3 challenges for 8 weeks and build muscle and maintain and get coached through that kind of in a group setting. James Smith, another one with the JSA, Lauren Simpson, like, you know, there's a lot of people out there who do them really well or have done them really well if they don't do them anymore. But yeah, equally, there's people out there who do them terribly. But that's everything in fitness, right? There's people who are really good at what they do. There's people who are, you know, trying to get really good at what they do. They're just maybe not there yet, but they're going to get there, which is fucking awesome. And I love seeing it. And then there's people who are just kind of there for quick money and grifting and all that sort of stuff. It's like the trend at the moment, these Pilates challenges get snatched in fucking 8 weeks by doing this backward exorcist, downward dog glute bridge thing that looks like you're birthing a Bosu ball. It's like, no. but you know, there's extremes in both sides at the end of the day. I'm not going to run them because I think they're too much hassle for me. I don't like that. I like being able to work one-to-one with people. That's my thing. Or give somebody a program to follow and, you know, give them structure that way. You know, personally, yeah, I don't want to do challenges myself just because I don't see that's where my business is heading, really.
How do you balance your work and your personal life and your rest days? What do you do to kind of calm down and just take a break from work?
I used to be really, really bad at this. I'm still pretty bad at this. Like, work brings me joy. Like, I love working. I love making content. I love writing programs. I love talking to clients. I love doing podcasts like this, you know, all this sort of stuff kind of fills my cup in a way. And I really enjoy this stuff. And I enjoy being around other fitness people. You know, I went to Clean Health Live in April. And it was just so fun being around all these other people who are there for the exact same thing that just want to level up. So I think for me, I'm kind of lucky in a way that I enjoy what I do enough that I don't always feel like, oh, I just need a break, you know, like all the time. I do have those days. I do have those moments. But generally, I'm very fortunate. Like, I've got a very supportive partner. My partner, Denise, you know, she's not into fitness at all. You know, she doesn't train. She doesn't really care for it. You know, she doesn't want a bar of it, really. Like, she only used to train because she used to come and train with me at Fitness First because she wanted to catch up with me on days where it was like busy for PT. So we'd sneak her in as a session. And it was really just, you know, she'd do a few sets of leg extension and hip thrust and we'd just talk shit for 45 minutes. It's great. But she's very good at kind of just pulling me away from that and being like, hey, you know, date night. Yeah. Like, you know, today is my day, let's go, you know, sort of thing. And not in a demanding way, just in a way of like, you know, come outside, do something else. So like after this podcast, we're going out tonight. We're going to go and see a movie and get dinner and stuff. And like, you know, she's very good at just kind of being like, okay, you've done a lot this week. Let's go do this. But I think for anyone who's, you know, maybe similar position to what we are in terms of business and content, all that sort of stuff, but doesn't have a partner or whatever. Like, I think really you just find something that is, so a way that you can turn this off, essentially, a way that you can turn the phone off and go do something else. You know, I know you've said to me before, like, you're somebody who really enjoys your own time and being able to kind of put the phone away, read books, listen to podcasts, go for walks, explore cities, all that sort of stuff. I think that's fucking epic. I think that's awesome. You know, I've got friends who their thing is an LSD trip by the river or something like that, you know, and I don't support the use of drugs myself, but you know, at the end of the day, it's what makes them happy. Like, it's anything where you can turn the phone off and kind of disconnect from that like digital sort of mainframe that we're always plugged into and go and do something where you just go and be by yourself or be with someone who means a lot to you and just spend time being present. I think that's the best way to do it. And I think if you can schedule time for that, even just once a week, it's such a game changer. And then it kind of allows you to feel revitalized when you come back to doing work things, right?
100%. I love like just disconnecting myself. Yesterday I went for a hike. Yesterday was my rest day. Didn't do much work and I also didn't train anything. And I met my friend and we went for a hike and a walk like in the woods. I didn't check my phone for probably 5 hours that we were together, which I mean, I should have checked my phone a little bit, but I was just like, it is just so nice to like be present and just enjoy time with someone that you care about and that you love and just not think about anything. And then I was like, okay, like I told him, I said, I'm getting a bit like, I cannot take more than, I don't know, like half a day off or like a whole day off. I was telling him, like, yeah, I'm ready to go back to the hustle. He said, you are crazy. I will never understand you. I said, it's okay. You don't have to understand me. But taking time off to fill up your own cup is also so important. And I also want to ask you about burnouts. Have you ever experienced burnouts? I have. What happened? How did you get over them? Have they taught you something? If you have experienced burnouts, I've experienced someone. pretty bad
Well,
burnout.
define burnout. Like, what's your definition of burnout? Because I know different people kind of define it different ways. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, burnout doesn't exist if you love what you're doing. I'm kind of like, that's horse shit to me. But like, what's your kind of definition of burnout?
I would say just feeling very mentally and physically exhausted and tired, and like having absolutely no energy to work or to train, like losing your creativity, not knowing what to film, not knowing what to talk about, what to post about, just feeling like just ex like extremely tired, and maybe even like questioning yourself, oh, do I even want to like keep. This is like a harsh statement, but like, do you even want to keep doing this because you are so tired, you are so overwhelmed? Just, things like that, mentally and physically drained and exhausted. Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I had it last year really badly. Like kind of towards the middle of the year, I was like questioning a lot of things, and I was kind of like, a lot of changes going on in my business life and all that sort of stuff. And I was kind of like, do I have the energy to do this? Like, do I, and it wasn't like a do I want to do this anymore kind of thing. It was just a genuine like, I'm not sure I can. I was like, I don't know if I can. So I was essentially starting again a little bit, and I was like, fuck, this is going to be a lot of work. Like, can I actually do this? And even this year, like I've had weeks where, on my Instagram now, I'm lucky I have a massive backlog of content. Well, not really lucky because I filmed it, but like I have a backlog of content. So I can go back and go, okay, well, this post from 6 months ago was really popular and I think it's still very relevant and valid. And I've gained however many followers in that time who haven't seen it. So I can repost something if I need to. And with clients, it's like, I just be honest with people, essentially. I've had 1 or 2 weeks where, yeah, I've really struggled with programming and all that sort of stuff. And, I've attracted a lot of very good people to my coaching service. So if I send out a message saying, hey, everyone, programs are going to be 24 hours late. I'm so sorry. Like, it's just really been a week or whatever. I think the longer you work with someone, the more they start to become accommodating of you as a human being and everything. And I'm not saying to coaches out there, yeah, use that as an excuse and lean on that. Absolutely not. But like, it's remembering that, if something does happen, like fuck, 1 week out of a year or whatever, and you're late on one program by 24 hours, people are going to understand as long as you have a good quality service. And generally, if you're hitting a bit of burnout and stuff, I find a lot of that is down to, yes, there's people who are doing it, who are getting it because they're doing the wrong thing. And they don't realize that they're doing their wrong thing, and that's their body's way of trying to say to them, "Hey, you're not in the right career. You're not doing something that makes you happy. You're not passionate about this. That's why you're struggling." Whereas you get the opposite side, which I feel like is you and me, where you are so passionate about it, you are so passionate about your business, you have a lot to say, a lot of value to give, but sometimes you feel like you put in 200% effort and you get 5% return. And do you know Sheridan Skye? On Instagram, Sheridan. Yeah. So Sheridan and I were speaking a couple of months ago about this, and she said to me, like relating to business, and she said to me something which I was like, this is fucking great. Like, I'm stealing this massively. So Sheridan, big ups for this. But she said to me, the biggest problem that we have as business owners is that we spend our entire lives teaching people how to get to a result that is basically guaranteed if they tick the boxes. So if we're teaching somebody the habits and the routines and molding their day to best lose fat, and they do it and they consistently adhere to it for 6 months, they will lose fat and they will get pretty much where they wanted to go. A lot of the time they get further than they wanted to go because they think, oh, I need to lose 15 kilos and then I'm going to look like this. And really they lose 12 and they're like, oh my God, I've got abs. What the hell? It's like, yeah, you're good. But they get to where they wanted to go eventually, essentially. Whereas in business, there's no guarantees. Which is part of the fun of it, because you kind of go, I think I'm going to be capped at 20 clients. And then all of a sudden you got 40 and they're paying you double what you ever thought you were ever going to be charging. And you're like, holy shit, what's going on? Like, are you guys like, you're going to find me out someday. There's going to be a guy with a clipboard and he's going to be like, you're a fraud. Even though like, you're not, because you've worked really hard to get there. And you're like me, you've spent tens of thousands of dollars on education, on coaching, on upskilling, on your business. You spend hours in sweat equity doing it. You miss dinners, you miss parties, you miss events and stuff to be able to get things set up for people. And generally, your response from clients is, we love what you do. Thank you so much. And that's how you know you've done the right thing. But yeah, I think sometimes not having that guarantee or that certainty that it is going to work out in the way that you imagine. And even scarier, not being able to imagine what it is that you want to work out in the first place sometimes, it does become difficult. It's like content. You were speaking before we started. It's like you might put 3 hours into a video and you put it up and you're so excited and you get it up there and you're like, this is going to smash it. And you put your phone away for an hour and you come back and nobody's seen it. And you're like, what the fuck? I put so much time into that. And then sometimes you literally grab a clip and you go, let's put a caption on that, throw that up, don't care about it. It's just something to post today because I've got nothing else. And it fucking goes viral. And you're like, why? What? Why? Sort of thing, you know? But I think the big thing is just being able to be okay with yourself having those periods where you kind of go, yeah, you know what, this is a challenge and it's hard, and being able to check in with yourself. And something I want to start doing again is journaling more. I always find that helps because then you write down
Yes.
what the problem is. It's like, are you
Yes.
burnt out because you hate what you're doing, or is your brain just telling you that you hate everything and you hate life when really you just did a lot the last couple of weeks? You know, you didn't sleep right, you didn't eat right, you've been stressed with people around you, you know, you've been prioritizing too much work, you've been doing too much content, you've been hyper fixated on the numbers too much, and you just need to let go a little bit, and then you're probably going to be feeling a little bit more well rested. Sometimes that's pretty important. But yeah, I think burnout's, I don't want to say it's normal because I don't want people to think like that if they don't ever feel burnt out, they're not working hard enough. Like maybe you just manage your stress better than I do. But I think it is something that a lot of people will encounter at some time, and it's okay to encounter that and to go, I need to take some time to myself to readjust. As long as you're still kind of putting your health and putting your clients and all that sort of stuff first.
100%. 100%. What do you do for your mental health? How do you control your mental health? I know you mentioned journaling, that you want to start journaling again. What are some things that you do that you make sure that your mental health stays in a very good place, and it doesn't you don't go to any dark places.
Oh, look, I mean, at the end of the day, without sounding too serious, like I still go to dark places, probably more regularly than I'd like, essentially. I got one of these a couple of years ago. That helped. I genuinely think having pets, as much as this guy's a little pain in the bum sometimes, aren't you? I do think that having pets and having animals, having something to care for, helps as well, because sometimes when you just don't want humans around, having another presence there, that is furry and is soft and is willing to give you affection and stuff back, is always good as well until he shits outside his litter box. But I think the biggest thing for me with mental health is I just try to, again, control what I can control and look after the things that I can look after. So the biggest thing is I try to make sure that I stick to my sleep routine. I try and sleep by 10 o'clock every night. I try and wake up around 6 o'clock every morning. That keeps me feeling structured, keeps me feeling routinized. I try to do whatever work I can manage in the day, and I just give myself grace. I go, okay, I've got a to-do list and I'm just going to attack everything one at a time. And if I get four things out of this 10 thing to-do list done today, that's four things that I don't have to do tomorrow. That's great, and I try not to beat myself up if I don't get things done. And I just try and spend time with other people too. Like I'm a weird like mix of introvert extrovert. Like I've heard it called like amblivert or something before, where I like being around people. I genuinely find people fascinating and very interesting, and they give me energy, but fuck, they suck the life out of me at times as well.
Oh, dear.
So yeah, it's like sometimes, and that's not even like, it might not even be a terrible person. I just genuinely sometimes go, okay, I need an hour or two to myself. But I know when I'm feeling down and I'm feeling fairly depressed or miserable or whatever, I tend to try and go and see my parents. I just go around to my parents' house and we chill. I don't even have to tell them what's going on a lot of the time. I just go around there, see my brother, see his missus, see the dogs, play a bit of Uno, have a bit of mum's home cooked cooking. Things feel normal again. And then generally that kind of levels me back out a little bit. Obviously not qualified to speak on what happens if my mental health really goes up the wall, but anecdotally, I just find having as much normality and routine as I can really helps with that. Or get on a plane and fuck off somewhere for a little bit. That's the other thing, because that's always exciting.
Always, always. See ya. I am out. One way
How
to
many
put
countries
it.
have you done in the last 2 years?
So I went to, quite a few. Well, if you want to count UK, Croatia, Australia, Dubai. I mean, I went to Abu Dhabi, I went to Spain, then I went to France, then I went back to Croatia. And where else have I been? Oh, I went to Amsterdam so many times to see my best friend, and I think that's it, like in the last couple of years. Have not been to the States. I need to go back to the States. And I need to go back to Australia as well. So probably will be there like October, November time.
You were meant to come to Clean Health, weren't you? Then you
I
moved apartment. You
was, I was, then I moved apartments. Then I went back to Europe because it was getting too hot over there in the desert. So
Oh yeah, 40 degrees. Nobody likes that. Jeez, it's
yes.
too
And it was
much.
getting too cold in Australia. So I was like, let me wait until your summer, and then I'll head over there.
It actually has been fucking freezing here. Like, everyone's gonna
Yeah, my
laugh
sister
who's not from
says,
Australia. Like,
I
in
know.
Sydney, it was like 6 degrees the other day. I was like, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. I was walking to the gym the other morning at 6 a.m. because I was going to train a one-to-one client. And I literally had my scarf like pulled around my head like this. I look like something out of some kind of like desert movie. I don't say a Dune. Have you seen the new Dune movie? But I look like something out of that, like walking around like Lisa Del Gaib. Yeah, I'm gonna get cancelled for that one, I think.
We can cut it out if you want.
Nah, it should be right. Should be right.
Leave it. Oh, mate. Well, I'll definitely see you this year, and then we're going to film another follow-up podcast. I can't believe it's been nearly 2 years since we filmed the first one.
Oh, don't. Fucking this year especially
Mate.
has gone so fast. It's
So
crazy.
fast.
It's
So
genuinely
fast.
ridiculous.
So fast. I feel like I want to move to, I don't know. Some kind of an island or somewhere where time just goes so slow, because I feel like the last, ever since I competed, I feel the time has just been flying by like crazy.
You're 30 soon, aren't you? That's creeping up soon, isn't it?
Yeah, mate, in August, I'm entering, well, I wouldn't say qu quarter life crisis, because I don't know if I'll live until 120, but I don't know, some kind of a life crisis, maybe even an identity crisis. I'm like, I'm 30, I don't have a partner, I don't have kids, I'm not married. Like, I'm the black sheep of my family. I'm that person that's like, everyone's getting married, everyone's doing everything, and I'm like, I'm going to Dubai, I'm going to Australia. I don't know what time, I don't know when I'm coming back. I don't know if I will come back, but it's just me, my laptop, my camera, and my suitcase. So I've always been a little bit, I don't know,
It's the modern woman. It's the modern woman. It's
different.
fine.
Thank you. Thank
Successful
you.
business, making money. Who gives a
Thank
fuck?
you.
Like,
Yes.
it's either like, hey, mom, you can have another three grandkids that can fucking whine and cry, or I can make another bit of money for you. We could get your house or something. That's the way to pitch it, I think.
I'm like, mom, I'm making money. I'm helping you and dad out, and my, I'm like, I'm helping the family out. I don't think that I will ever have kids, but just, that's something that you'll have to accept. And she's like, fine. I think, after a while, they even stop asking me and just expecting anything from me. They're just like, are you alive? Are you okay? Where are you now? Check in with us. And I'm like, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Everything's good. Still alive, still
All good,
happy.
fam.
All good. All is good. Follow me on Instagram. I'm like, I'm okay. Everything is okay. So that's me. Always have
I
been.
think that's fine, though. Let's be honest. Everybody's got different
Yeah.
aspirations for life and shit. Like, that's at
100%.
the end of the day, that is what it is. Like, we're
100%. And
moving
also,
so far away from that as well. Like, the typical family of four, like, I still find it crazy that some people online are still like, nah, man has to be breadwinner, wife has to stay home and cook dinner and look after the kids. I'm like, fuck, what is this, 1962? Like, really? We're past that. We're past that.
like, even if I'm the breadwinner and my partner takes care of, I don't know, whatever at home, and like all that, like, I don't mind. Someone has to make the money. So if it has to be me, it has to be me. has to be
Exactly.
me.
There we go.
So I don't mind. As long as you're happy, like as long as you're with the right partner, that's all that matters. Money comes and
Yeah,
goes.
100%. Same with.
You can always waste a lot of money. You can always earn a lot more. So it's just
You can't get time at the end of the day.
no.
That's
You
the
cannot get. Yeah,
only
that's
thing
what
you
I
can't get
always
back.
say. You can always make more money, but you cannot make more time. So.
Exactly. So those of you thinking about doing online coaching with me, those 12 weeks, you're never going to get them back. Okay. So invest the money because you're going to get that back and we'll get your results in 12 weeks. And then, that'll be fine. That's
Amen.
it. That's my elevator pitch. It's not a
Amen.
very good one, but it's there.
But you are not wrong. You are not wrong. You are 100% right. I just want to thank you so much for coming on to the potty. The next one that we do will be, well, either a Zoom, maybe one more Zoom than one in real life.
Yeah,
God
we'll get one
knows,
done in real life. We'll get the got all the lighting
for
set
sure.
up. We'll invest in Musty for the day and come and set up a bunch of
Yes.
cameras. He's got a new
Yes.
cyborg rig or some shit that he bought that looks exciting. So,
Great. Great.
there we go.
We will film all the YouTube videos, training videos, nutrition videos, maybe go and explore Sydney for a day or something like that. I'm going to
That's too
bring my.
expensive, mate. That's just. Oh yeah, I still got to learn how to use my thing of that. I
I'm going to
turned it
bring
on once.
my DJI Osmo. So good.
I bought one of those and Musti was like, "You're never going to use it." And I was like, "Fuck off, I'm going to use it. I've had it for 3 months. I haven't turned it on since I got it."
Get on
I've
it.
got a
Get
big
on it.
offensive like Sony camera over there just staring me in the face recording this conversation. So that's what I use. I just get that out and everybody's like, "Oh, this guy again." But it is what it is.
I love it. I don't mind. I can film content anywhere, literally, on honestly, wherever, whenever, on the street, in the gym. Give me the camera
Beautiful.
and press the record button. Press the
That's what you
record
want.
button.
Thanks for having me, mate. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. And thank you to everyone who has tuned in and listened to us. Hopefully we shared some value and we didn't just waffle too much as we sometimes tend to.
I waffle a lot,
Sometimes.
so I guarantee there was a lot, but it's
Sometimes.
fine. It's
Sometimes. But thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Jack, for your time. Until next time, we will see you and we will hear you next time.
Thanks for having me. See you guys.
Thank you.